One of the problems that that has come up and that people always knew is that invasive species, in this case we're talking about plants mostly, but a lot of this could apply to some animal species as well, that they are carried on things. You mentioned carrying firewood from place to place, vehicles, especially off-road vehicles, and guess who's best known for off-road vehicles is the Army. So it's a problem area that we thought was worth looking into, and had a project that started a couple of years ago. This is a little background information. It's very clear that military equipment can and has carried invasive species to many places, and most of the concern has been with species invading from outside the country. But if you take a look at the concerns about movement of invasive species from place to place, there are plenty of concerns about species that are already within the country. And is anybody paying any attention to those questions? The Forest Service has, several years ago, they recognized that they probably needed to do something to minimize the spread of invasive species for which they had some responsibility. And so they took a look at the question of vehicles moving into and out of the scenes where they're fighting forest fires. And this is an example of what you see when you're entering a zone where they're fighting a forest fire. All the vehicles going into or out of the fire management zone have to go through a washing system, something like this, and I'll show you a little more about what those actually look like. ERDC has responded to this question and done a study and prepared a report a couple of years ago on movement of invasive species, concentrating entirely on movement from outside the country. And everyone agrees that this is an important question, but it doesn't look at all at the question of movement back and forth inside the country. You say, well, the Army has elaborate ways for washing and cleaning vehicles. The tank bath, the central vehicle washing facility, ought to be very effective in doing this. I'm not talking about using that for the purpose that we're looking at right here. There are a lot of issues with this. Not all locations actually have one of them. Most of these wash racks don't have any containment for the material they wash out, so they're just pooling or spreading nearby. They're usually located at the motor pool, and they're not very useful for vehicles that are going back and forth from one place to another inside the post. They're designed to remove soil, and that's good because soil is probably a surrogate for the number and quantity of seeds and other propagules that could potentially be moved from place to place. And they don't address aquatic species at all, and there are a lot of important aquatic invasives we need to look at. Well, the study I'm going to talk specifically about is this CERDIP project. Dr. Lisa Rue from Montana State University is the principal investigator. We're cooperators. The San Dimas Research Laboratory of the Forest Service was a cooperator, and the California Division of Forestry Fire Academy was another cooperator. So got all of these people together to work on the problem. there were three primary objectives in this study. One of them was the very simple one: how much soil could you remove from a vehicle? Was the waste contained? And what effect did the different washing procedures have on the viability of the seeds that were compared? And we didn't have any way of really comparing the before and after for the actual seeds out in the environment, so that seed samples that were based on surrogates for the outside species were used instead. This is the location of the study in the summer of 2007. There was a a uniform site that was prepared to run different vehicles around and get hopefully uniform amounts of soil in the vehicles, and so that you could then see how they could be cleaned. This was done over a period of about 6 weeks in the summer of 2007. Cleared, level, open surface, recently graded, silt loam soil, very little remaining vegetation on the site, and no rocks or other things. Three different kinds of vehicles were used. Since the Forest Service was involved, they were looking at these Type 3 fire engines, which are the most common type of thing that's used for fighting the fire. They could be a surrogate for any medium-heavy vehicle, light 4x4 trucks, and dozers as relatively representative examples that the Forest Service was interested in. The procedure was pretty much what you might expect. We drove the vehicles uniformly around the course a standard number of times, drove them over to the area where they were washed, washed them off, stripped down the vehicles after the washing to remove the soil and debris that had been missed by the commercial washing units, and then at the end of the process we did a test with the surrogate seeds. This is pretty much what it looks like. This is the course, vehicles driving around the course. They're driven onto this washing system, and this is one of the five different kinds of actual contract washing systems used by the Forest Service that were used for this study. It was washed for 5 minutes by the contractor's crew. They quantified how much soil was removed from the vehicle, a little bit of work involved in this. Then the vehicle was stripped down and cleaned again by, I'll say, our staff, by the non-contractor staff. This was repeated 18 times for each vehicle type, quantified the amount of debris that was removed from each vehicle by each of the processes. They were tagged separately by which study it was and whether this was the material that was removed by the contractor's wash or the follow-up wash by the government employees. This is the amount of debris that was removed from these vehicles after 18 trials, and as you see, the total amount of soil ranges from, 150 to almost 700 kilos by type. Why the difference? Well, at first we didn't realize what the difference was, and it kind of crept up on us, and it turned out that because of dust suppression requirements, it was getting very hot and very dry, and 100 degrees during the day that they were spraying the course for dust suppression, and this meant that the soil was a little muddier. It wasn't obvious. You walking on it, it wasn't obvious, but you can see that the vehicles at the end picked up two or three times as much soil as the original vehicles, but it didn't have much difference in the proportion removed. This is what proportion of the soil was removed by the five different washing units from the three different categories of vehicles, and as you can see here, from the proportion is up on the left-hand side here, ranged from about 65 or 70% for the poorer performing wash units up to 90% for the best performing units on some categories of vehicles. Interestingly enough, the dozer got cleaned a lot cleaner than some of the other things. The fire engines were one of the easier things to clean. They were nice and smooth and flat on the bottom, which turned out to be part of it. The cleaning efficacy was what percentage was removed. 100% would be what the contractor removed plus what the our research crew removed, this is what they look like for the effectiveness. it works out to about 5 minutes in the wash procedure for the contractor wash. The follow-up wash took twice as long for the other people, including crawling underneath and taking things apart and digging them out. But you know, the Army standards for vehicle washing allow almost exactly that same amount of time per vehicle with average soiling. The seed viability test, the surrogate test, this isn't all that meaningful here, but it was an interesting piece of the question. Up to 90% of the viability was lost from many of these seeds by going through the washing process. And part of it was the washing process, and then it sat packed in the wet soil for some time after going back to Montana to the growing in the greenhouse. Well, what's our conclusion? Well, you can see what the data were. The best systems removed 80 or 90% of the soil. Is this good? Yes, it's good. It removed 80 or 90% of the soil. But it wasn't down to zero. It left a lot behind. It left hundreds of pounds behind collectively over these things. And the conclusion has to be that if they're being used as they're normally used in practice, large amounts are left behind on the vehicles. Now, if the proportion of cleaning is a is your goal, they're doing some good. Are they preventing the movement of soil and potential for seeds and plant propagules? No, they're not doing that. Well, what does it mean? The bottom line is that they don't begin to approach 100%. So if we're looking at something to absolutely prevent the loss, we're going to have to look farther. Let me say something about a follow-on study here. There was a follow-on study that was done last year at Orchard Training Area. It involved Army vehicles rather than Forest Service type vehicles. This is an armored scout platoon that was in the field for a 10-day exercise prior to the washing studies. Here they are waiting at the end of their exercise, waiting to come back in to be washed. Here they're being washed with the same equipment. Incidentally, this is exactly the same equipment, washing equipment that I showed you in that Forest Service study. They were the people that were contracted with to run this study, and capable of washing Bradleys and M1s and Humvees. Incidentally, the bottom of a Humvee is unbelievably complex construction with tremendous number of places for soil to collect. It's just, if you were to design a soil trap, you would have designed the Humvee. That's all I have. Thank you. Any questions about it?
We have time for one more question.
Question, yes.
Did you ever, in addition to any of the washing, use any chemicals?
No. No, this was just water, not even any surfactants, just water. Partly because when they're used out on the site, they can't be used out there because they'd wash down the roadside ditches and things. So it tried to emulate what the actual field situation would be regarding its use.
Do they use steam? I know in New Zealand, there's a big market shipping automobiles, used automobiles from Japan to New Zealand.
Right, yes.
And I believe they use a special steam.
Yeah, no. Could be, but it's not part of, as I say, we were trying to reproduce the actual process that's used. Okay, no, thank you.